Philippians chapter 4, I want to begin to read tonight in verse 9. And the Bible says, "These things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." What a great thing for us to learn. "I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Heavenly Father, help us now while we might preach. And we'll tell you again that we love you. And thank you for saving us and thank you for keeping us. And Lord, we ask you that you just help us tonight while we might preach. And thank you for it all, for this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As we look in these verses right here, as the Apostle Paul was closing this chapter now and to the church of Philippi, he starts out in verse 9 and talks about the criteria and that of what to live by and what they needed to follow. He said right here, he said, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." You know, at another point, the Apostle Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, "Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So let me say tonight that if you've got somebody out there that is in front of you that is living godly and that is living by what the book says, it would be okay to imitate yourself after them. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Paul said, "Whatever you've learned from me, whatever you've received from me, whatever you've heard from me, that you've seen in me, that you do." You know, there's times that I look at some preachers and I say, "Boy, I'd like to be like them." I mean, they're following God. They seem to live close. They have a great example and that. And you know, when I read this verse the other day, if folk are living godly in front of you, it's good to want to pattern yourself after somebody godly. Let me say tonight, the greatest pattern that we have and the criteria that we have is after the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to pattern ourselves and that after him, the criteria. But the Apostle Paul not only said about the criteria, but he commended them in verses 10 and then also in verses 14 through 16 for their giving unto the ministry. He said right here in verse 10, he said, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again." He said, "You lacked opportunity, but now you don't lack opportunity." He said, "You've come and supported me and took care of me." Even in verse 16, he said, "When I was even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity." And Paul, as a missionary, he needed folk and that to support him, if you let me put it that way. And Paul was capable of supporting himself. He was a tent maker. We understand that. But he said, "You have give what God has gave you." And so he commends them for their support. And then we find in verses 11 through 13, we find the contentment that the Apostle Paul had. No matter whether the church at Philippi supported him or not, he was content wherever he was. He said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." You know, that's a thing we have to learn. That's a thing we have to learn. He said, "I've learned." Listen, sometimes we think that people ought to get some things just like that. You know, sometimes we just got to learn some things, don't we?
We just got to apply ourselves and say, look, no matter what happens, I'm going to be happy in Christ. No matter whether I'm rich or whether I'm poor, whether I've got plenty or whether I have nothing, I have everything in Christ. And the Apostle Paul said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed. I jumped off the page at me here when I read that the other day. He said, I'm instructed. He said, I have been given instruction that no matter whether I abase or whether I abound, whether in all this, he said, I've been instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. He said, I know how to do both. He said, I know how to be what I need to be. I know how to suffer need. I know how to have all that I need. And then he said in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And listen, he's our help tonight, and he is our strength, and he is the reason that we can do what we can do tonight. But the Apostle Paul, he commended them for their support. He talked about his contentment in verses 11 through 13. And listen, then we find the cause of Paul's desire for them in verse 17. He said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul said, I didn't want your support that I could just have. Paul didn't want that he could just go spend and that he could live a life of luxury and that he could abound and have plenty and not be hungry. He said, look, I wanted your support so that there could be fruit that would abound to your account. Do you realize as we support missionaries that every soul that is won and that on the field, whether it is on the home field or on the foreign field, on the mission field, wherever it may be, that abounds to our account. As we send, and that whether it's money, as we send, maybe a need, maybe a care package, whatever is needed, as we send it in those missions. And by the way, it would be good for us to do that. Maybe to send some care packages. It wouldn't be a bad thing. I'm sure there's some missionaries that we support that would love to get some things from the States, that would love to get maybe a card from us, and it might be good, amen. But listen, we give to missions to see folks saved. We give to mission families that we might help them. And listen, Paul knew, he understood their sacrifice that they had given. He understood that. Because if you look in verse 18, he said, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell and a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing unto God. He called it a sacrifice. He said, what you gave was a sacrifice. Can I ask you tonight, have you ever gave sacrificially? Now I know that I'm sitting here on Wednesday night, the folk that love God. I believe that with all my heart. You wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't love God. But have you ever gave sacrificially? I mean, when really you had to make a choice with this money here, whether you wanted to do something with it, and sometimes it might have been a need that you had versus giving to missions. Now, I'm telling you, that's something between you and the Lord tonight. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money tonight other than you need to tithe and give your offering. I will tell you that, but how much you're going to give and all those things is between you and the Lord. But I know tonight that as they give, they gave sacrificially. And listen, I believe that when we give sacrificially and that to the cause of Christ, heaven perks up a little bit. I think the Lord looks down from heaven, not that he don't see what we give, but do you remember those the widow woman over there, listen, that gave those 2 mites? And you know what? The Lord sat over there against the treasury and he watched all this. And as she cast into the treasury, he said, she's gave more than all these. Now how is that? Because he said, they all gave out of their abundance, but she gave out of her want. She gave out of what she did not have, basically. She was given, I kind of figure in my mind, she was given the last of what she had. But as we give to the Lord, we come down to verse 19. And as it was sacrificially given, it was sacrificially accepted. Because the Apostle Paul said right here that it was well-pleasing to God. The Lord looked down from heaven and he was well-pleased with it. You know, when we give sacrificially, I believe it's well-pleasing and that to the Lord tonight.
But I want you to look in verse 19, a very common verse that we quote a lot of times, and this is where I want to preach at tonight. He said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, there's a difference between a need and a want. And I may preach on wants come Sunday, and we'll look at that later. But listen, let's not get our wants and our needs mixed up. But as they have given that to the Apostle Paul, and he said right here, he said in verse 10, he said, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again." I believe there was a point and a time when they could not give, or where they did not give, or maybe they just didn't want to give. I don't know what the deal was. But he said here at the end, he said, "You have lacked opportunity." But he said, "Now you've made opportunity." And he said, "You've sent to me once and again, over and over and over again." And so when he comes down here to the end, he said, "As you've gave and you have gave sacrificially," he said, "but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So tonight I want to preach having a thought on a necessity meeting God. Now, I don't know what your need is tonight, but I know God can meet it. I know God can meet it exactly where you're sitting at tonight, but I also know he can meet it on this altar. And I know that he can meet it, friend, whatever's going on. And I'm going to talk here in just a minute, preach about an extraordinary God that answers prayers in ordinary ways. Have you ever noticed that sometimes, how that our extraordinary God just answers your prayer in an ordinary way? But sometimes he answers extraordinarily also. But tonight as we look at him being a necessity meeting God, first of all, number one tonight, I'm glad for the promise of God to meet our needs. I'm glad that I'm just not wandering through life and worried about how things are going to get met. I don't rub my hands too many times anymore. Listen, he's just been too good and that of a God to me, and met with me too many times and met my needs. And he's took care of things that was beyond my control. You know, that's the deal. It's not what is in our control that we need to be concerned about. It's when things get out of control. Friend, that's where he steps in at. He does things that we cannot do. He expects us to be in the right place. He expects us to be where he wants us at. And then God begins to deal with some things. Take your Bible tonight and go over to Matthew chapter 6. Look with me in Matthew chapter 6. And he begins to tell them some things about how the Lord Jesus does. I believe they're on the Sermon on the Mount up there in Matthew chapter 6. And he begins to tell them in verse 24. He said, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." And now the mammon in that is the money of the day. That's what he's talking about. Stuff. Physical stuff. Material possessions and stuff. We've got a generation or generations that is eat up with stuff. Stuff. Want. Gotta have. I mean, boy, if I don't get it, if I don't get the latest iPhone or the latest phone that they have, man, I mean, it's just, I'm just happy to have a phone tonight, amen? Listen, a lot of people, they want the biggest and the greatest house. And what they don't understand to me tonight is a house is a house. Put a roof over my head. Give me a place to lay down at. Put some electricity in it. Give me some water. Boy, ain't you glad for running water tonight. Some of y'all can remember what it was like not to have indoor plumbing. Amen. Hey, I still remember my grandparents' house when they had the outhouse down there in the edge of the woods. Thank God for indoor plumbing. Amen. I love it, man. I'm telling you, but I still remember them days. But look, and I'm just 45 years old. But notice what he said. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and stuff and material possessions at the same time. You just can't do it. But you know, there are times when we do need material possessions, ain't it? Look what else he goes on to say. "Therefore I say unto you," now you can't serve God and mammon. So he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Let me stop right here for just a second. You know, there's a lot of people out there that wants to wire the best that there is. And listen, if God's blessed you with money and you're giving to missions and you're giving your offering and you're taking care of things like you're supposed to at home and you want to buy the best clothes that there, you help yourself, friend. But there's some people that will spend and spend and go in debt trying to buy the best that there is tonight. There's a lot better suits out there to wear than what I got on tonight. And I thought this one was high enough. Amen. I'll be honest with you. Listen, he said, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, I'm preaching on a necessity meeting God. He said, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to have on? What did Paul say? And having food and raiment. Let's start with be content. He didn't say about a roof over our head. And he didn't say that if life was comfortable. He said if you've got food and raiment, be content. I'm going to finish on with this here in a minute. There's a friend of mine. He picked up a fella that was hitchhiking one time going down the road. And I think I told you this story sometime back. He picked him up and he said, I was going to witness to him and tell him about the Lord. He said, I got him in the truck and he began to tell me more about the Lord than I was going to tell him. You know, we have an idea of what people ought to look like today. The clothes they ought to have on. There's no telling who's out there tonight that is, we'd say, is just poor as Job's turkey. But probably living a life closer to the Lord than all of us put together if we ain't careful tonight. The things of this world don't mean anything to them. There's people in third world countries tonight that have really got a hold of this and understand it. So they don't have anything anyway. And all they've got is the Lord to hold on to. Look what he said. For all, verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. The Lord knows. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what the Lord wants out of us tonight in taking care of us is just to seek what he wants out of our life. What did he say right there? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why? Because people are seeking and that what they think they need or what they want. And he said, if you'll just seek God and seek him and what he wants for you and his righteousness and live for him, separate out of this world, God will take care of everything else. Let me ask you tonight, do we do these things? Do we live right? Do we live for the Lord? I would like to think that we do. Willing to do the things of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know how much do we give of our time and of our treasure and of our talent? The Lord does take care of his. What was it David said? I've been young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed a begging bread. He ever lendeth. Is that not what? Take your Bible and go to Psalms 37. Let me go over and look at that. That's a good verse. I'm already there. Psalms chapter 37, verse 25. He said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed of begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. Boy, ain't that a good. I preached on that not too long ago. The Lord won't forsake us. He don't leave us. Do you know that there ain't a reason for a Christian that loves God and has give and sacrifice and that to the Lord. He'll never leave them. I mean, he's not going to leave us no matter what. But listen, he's going to take care of what we need. Let me park right here for just a second and say this. What we need sometimes may be what we think we need.
And I'm going, if the Lord don't change my mind, this is going to end up in being a series. But listen, sometimes it's what we want, not what we need. What did the children of Israel want over there out of the book of Exodus? You remember what it was with the book of Numbers? I'm getting ahead of myself for Sunday. Do you remember what it was? They got tired of manna, didn't they? And what did they want? They said, give us meat to eat. And God said, I'll give you meat to eat, and I'm going to give you meat to eat. But he said, it's going to run out your nose. You know, sometimes once we get something, it didn't seem like that big of a need after all, did it? The Lord said, if we'll just be worried about what we have to eat, no, we don't have what we want to eat. I told somebody the other day, we was out of groceries at the house. And I said, no, let me correct myself. We're out of things that we like to eat at the house. We had all kinds of food to eat. It's just what we liked. I said, we got all kinds of stuff in there to eat. Freezer's full. Refrigerator's full. Cabinet's full. I was just out of cookies. That's all it was. Man, you ever got them little flyer-looking butter cookies, you know, made by Murray's? I can eat them things in one set, and there's three sleeves of them. And I can just eat them at one time. I love them things. I mean, that's why I am like I am. But listen, he takes care of us. If we're going to sell out to him and live for him, listen, he's going to sell out to us tonight. I'm not going to tell you that, listen, that he won't take care of you. But I'm going to tell you tonight, I believe that if we're more concerned about worldly issues and worldly things and want to have and want to have and want to have, I'm not so sure how much the Lord is going to take care of some things for us. There's a lot of people, they go out and they waste their money. And I'm talking about Christians tonight, believers. They waste what God has given them. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As I told you Sunday, I was listening to the preacher preach, and as he was praying over his message, he said, Lord, thank you that we had the ability to come and give this morning. I've never heard a preacher say that before. I've never heard anybody pray, Lord, thank you for allowing me to be able to give. And that changed my way of thinking about some things that I do have to be able to give to the Lord. Not only my treasure, not only my money, but I've got time to give. And I've got some talents to give. How much are we giving? We want the Lord to take care of us, don't we? We want the Lord to meet our needs, don't we? We know he's a need-meeting God. We understand that. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And so we find the promise of God to meet our needs. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He's talking to a church that has gave sacrificially. I talked to an old deacon one time and he said, you just about have to run a church broke to run it right. And I understand what he was saying. In our conversation, I understood what he said. I do believe God wants us to take care of some things and make sure we've got money to take care of things. I understand that. But we can't hoard it up just to keep it. There's a lot of churches want to hoard it up and hold on to it. God ain't happy with that. God ain't happy with that at all tonight. There is not only is there missionaries that need to be took care of, but I'll guarantee you, the old saying is charity begins at home. There's things in our community, and maybe even in our own church, that have people that need to be took care of. But we find the promise of God to take care of things. But then can I say number two, that it's pleasant to watch God take care of things. Have you ever just sat back and lived by faith and watched God handle some things? You know, the Apostle Paul over here, he said, now that I speak, in, not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He said, because I know God's going to take care of it. He's going to handle it. Now, can I tell you tonight, as we sit back, and you know that word pleasant means pleasing or cheerful or enlivening. That's what pleasant means. You know, don't you like to be around people that's got a pleasant disposition about them? Have you ever been around people that's not had a pleasant disposition? They were not that pleasant to be around, were they? I mean, I always had an old frown on their face and sewed up like an old bullfrog, and everything was wrong and nothing was never right. And sometimes you just want to holler at them, what's the matter with you? I mean, I do. I'll be honest with you. I mean, they proclaim to be saved. I don't know how we got here, but ain't good. They profess to be saved. And listen, I just want to grab them sometimes and say, what's wrong with you? If you're saved, he's got you. But I believe it's pleasant to sit back. And we'll do our part. And watch God do his tonight. Listen, the joy that it brings just to watch him work and move. You ever seen him do things? You ever seen him move and work? And listen, I was talking about this a few minutes ago. How that we have an extraordinary God that does that fulfills our needs in ordinary ways. Have you ever had a financial need? Let me park right there for just a second. I think every one of us in here has probably had a financial need at one time or another. You may be in one right now. I hope not. But if you are, I know the Lord can handle it tonight, especially if you're living for Him and serving Him. But listen, have you ever just had a financial need and the boss come to you and say, hey, would you work some overtime? Now, I've had that happen. Now, that's an extraordinary God doing something that we'd consider in an ordinary way. Said, can you work overtime for maybe the next month, maybe the next 2 weeks, or do something right here? Or maybe you've been able to trade around and find what you needed. I mean, it just seems like that it was just an ordinary way for God to make a way. What was extraordinary about that night that my wife decided to reconcile the checkbook was that she decided to reconcile the checkbook. And most of y'all know that story. The money that we needed was already in the checking account. But we didn't know that. But by the time she reconciled the checkbook, we had more money than the bank did. I ain't so sure about all that, but I'll tell you. But you know, it's fun, and I'll use that word very loosely. It's pleasant to watch an extraordinary God working in an extraordinary way. Especially when He gets it all done, and He allows you to look back over some things and look and see how God done something. You know, we don't always get to see how God does something. We just know the need got met. We don't know how it got met, but we know the need got met. Listen, we look in 1 Kings chapter 17. Take your Bible and go to 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, I'm talking about an extraordinary God doing extraordinary things right now. Listen, to meet needs. 1 Kings chapter 17, y'all ought to know this. We're looking at Elijah up there with a widow woman. Now, would you not, if you know that story, would you not say that that was an extraordinary thing? I mean, when he leaves, I mean, he's down by the brook Cherith. He's living by himself. I mean, he's lonely. You know, a lot of times if you're going to serve God, it's a lonely place. It can be a lonely place. But here he is. It's a lonely place. And the brook has dried up, and God has fed him by the ravens while the brook was running. And God is fed him by that. That's extraordinary in itself. And by the way, Elijah had to be there. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And he will add all these things. You know, Elijah had to go down by the brook Cherith. He couldn't go somewhere else. Those ravens were commanded to go down by the brook Cherith. If he would have went somewhere else, those ravens wouldn't have been there. So God says, go up to Zarephath. He said, there's a widow woman up there that I have commanded and that to take care of you. She will do what? In verse 9, said a widow woman there to sustain thee. She's going to take care of you. So in verse 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, notice she didn't complain. She didn't argue. She didn't say, no, I'm not going to do it. She just went to fetch it. And he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. I believe she knew who Elijah was when he walked in on the scene. Because she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. She at least knew that he was a Jew. I believe she was a Gentile. She was all the way up there in Zarephath, you know. I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Boy, that was a good word, wasn't it? I mean, she's ready to face the death. And he said, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me.
and after make for thee and for thy son. He said, you go make mine first. Well, you're talking about going to have to live by just a little bit of faith right here. You go make mine first, and then you can make your son and make you one. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the buyer of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Didn't say that it overran, said that it just didn't fail. You may not have plenty, but you always have enough. You may not have in abundance, but you always have enough. I'm talking about a God that meets your needs tonight, a necessity, meaning God. Elijah, he was in the place where he needed to be for God to meet those needs. And by the way, the widow woman got blessed at the same time. What is it over there in 2 Kings chapter 7? Take your Bible and go over there in 2 Kings chapter 7. Y'all know the story. I love to preach on this story. Listen, you've got four lepers that are dying. They're sitting outside the city of Samaria. Samaria has been bound up. They're starving to death on the inside. The enemy has come against them. And so everybody on the, they've ate everything on the inside that there is to eat. And so the four lepers sat outside and they talked to themselves and said, well, if we go in the city, we're going to starve to death and die. If we sit out here, we're going to die. The only hope that we've got is to go fall in the hands of the Syrians, I believe it was, the enemy, and said, if they'll save us alive and feed us and take care of us, everything will be all right. So but that's the only hope we got. Said, if we go over there and they kill us, they kill us. It's sure death, no matter what we're doing. But I want you to look at what God does. Look in verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the end of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us follow the host of the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians. Now notice that, for the Lord. That's what's important in this passage of Scripture. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And we know the story. The lepers come into town. They got in the middle of that camp over there. And after they filled their pockets up and drug stuff off and buried it and ate all that they wanted to eat, they realized they were doing wrong. They went back and they told the city over there, said, look, you can come. There's nothing here. Come and take it all. And the Bible said in verse 16, and the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians, so a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. That's just two examples out of the Old Testament when an extraordinary God meets needs in an extraordinary way. We may not ever get to see how He does it, but He can do it. Kind of like grace showing up when you need grace. Song ever showed up at the right time? Song on the radio? You put a CD in and was listening to it and you're scanning through it and it fell upon a song and you said, oh yeah, I forgot about that song on this CD. And you let it play and God ministered to your heart with that thing. He can do that in music and song. Was the last time you ever turned over and found the preacher? Maybe showed up on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night and listened what the preacher preached on just helped your heart, or what the Sunday school teacher taught, or you sat at home and you opened the book up and began to read, and God began to minister to your heart out of this book right here. Or sometimes you just had to encourage yourself in the Lord like David did and said, Lord, I know you're real and I know you're there and I know you're going to take care of this. It's pleasant to watch the Lord work. Number three, it's priceless to watch the Lord work. Because we can work and go and do and move and try and move. I mean, Listen, the king right here, listen, they were doing everything that they could in the book of 2 Kings over here. But they couldn't do nothing on their own. Elijah couldn't do anything on his own. I mean, the brook dried up. I mean, the ravens going to quit because God said, go to Zarephath. I'll take care of you up there. Ain't it priceless to watch God work, to see Him work, to feel Him, to know that, hey, listen, just to know that He cares about us, is that not priceless tonight? What did He say? He said, no man can serve two masters. He'll either hate one or despise the other. Which one's priceless tonight? The money of this world, mammon, or the God of heaven tonight? Which one's priceless? I put a price on everything down here. But I can't put a price on the riches that He talks about over here, where He said, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, how He's going to fulfill our needs. Listen, God's got a storehouse up in heaven that is beyond what we could ever imagine. He talks about over in Psalms, is it chapter 50? He talks about that He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and He owns the hills that are under them too, by the way. He gives us what we need. And then it's priceless because He gave us what we needed, and then sometimes He gives us more than what we need. Like I told you, she was reconciling that checkbook. We needed like $700, and by the time she got done and her and the bank could agree on things, we ended up with $1,100. Pretty good. I think I'm telling you right. You don't even remember, do you? I don't think so. I tend to remember them numbers, though. They tend to stick with you when you're worrying a little bit. But it's priceless. It's priceless that He gives us what's needed, but it's priceless when He gives us more than what's needed. One thing that Brother Ted Pegram always taught me when I was just a young preacher and started out pastoring here, he talked about when they needed pews at their church at Johnson's years ago. He said pews was falling apart. He said, you know what we done? He said, we took on missionaries. Now that seems a little crazy, don't it? He said, you know why I took on missionaries? Because I knew that God would give us more than what we needed if we'd take on them missionaries. He said, I knew God knew that we needed them pews, but if we were willing to support what He needed, He was going to take care of some things for us. You know, sometimes, what was it, Brother Ralph preached to us during a mission conference, that the Lord would give more through us than He would to us. I've learned that to be true. The more you want to give, the more God will make sure that you're able to give. You get your heart in a place. But you know what is priceless? Not only that He'll give what we need, and sometimes it's extra, but He's always on time. That's actually how this message started. I was riding around at my grandmother's out there mowing her yard on lawnmower, and all I could think about is that He was a God that meets needs on time. You know, He always meets needs on time. Not according to our time clock, not according to our watch, but He always meets needs on times, don't He? I bet Jairus over there, I bet Jairus is in Mark chapter 5, I believe it is in Mark chapter 5, Jairus comes to the Lord over there, and he said, would you come and heal my daughter? Said, she lieth at death. And you know what the Lord said? He said, yes, I'll go home with you and heal your daughter. And I've got a message that I preach on Jairus' daughter when it seems that the Lord has delayed past the time of help. And you know what? In the middle of Jesus following Jairus home, the Bible tells us that the people thronged him and beat up against him, but there was that woman that had the issue of blood that come up there, and she said to herself, if I might touch the hem of his clothes, I might be made whole. And so with all them people thronging him and standing around him, one woman that was hunched over, that had been with the doctors for 12 years and couldn't be healed, she reached out and touched him, and virtue went out of his body, and he stopped. And he said, who touched me? And his disciples looked at him like he was crazy and said, Master, what do you mean, who touched you? He said, all these people are thronging you. Yeah, he said, yeah, but virtue went out of my body. And boy, she came out down before him and began to tell him everything. And see, during all this time, he had stopped moving. Jairus, I don't know at what point Jairus realized Jesus wasn't behind him. But there was a time shortly after that that the people come to Jairus and said, "Don't bother the master no more. Your daughter is dead." Now it would seem to me that the Lord was not on time. But as soon as Jesus heard that, he looked at Jairus and he said, "Fear not, but only believe." And so to make the long story short, he goes and raises his daughter up. Martha came to Jesus and said, "If you'd have been here, our brother would not have died." And Jesus raises Lazarus. No doubt, I preached on the three Hebrew men over there that was cast into the fiery furnace. We think, yeah, we might need to go through some suffering sometimes, but I'm wondering how many of us, if we would have been in their position, would not have wanted to have suffered at all. But yet God did not deliver them from having to make their stand. God did not deliver them from having to go to the furnace. God didn't even deliver them from going in the furnace. He delivered them while they were in the furnace. And we look at that story and we understand it, but looking from their standpoint, I know they believe God, but if we would have been them, would we have said God was not on time? It's priceless because he's always on time. You can't put a price on it. It's because of his riches. His riches. They're priceless tonight. Then look at the person. I'm going to hurry and get ready because look at the person that it's in tonight, that he meets our needs. Look at what he says. According to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus, the one who loved us and died for us and forgave us of our sins when we come to him. It's by him that he meets our needs. Listen, there's some things I don't understand tonight, church. I don't understand the Trinity. I don't. I just believe that it's real tonight. I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost tonight. I believe they're three in one and they're separate. I don't understand it tonight, but I know it's real. Amen. I know it's real tonight. I don't know if Brother Jeff remembers this, but I remember preaching on the radio years ago when we was going to Lee's Chapel. And I don't remember if you remember that fella come up there to meet with me and talk to me. I'd preached on the Trinity on that Sunday morning live on the radio. And he was a Jesus-only person. And he wanted to meet with us about that, about Jesus only. And I'm like, well, in John 17, who is Jesus praying to over there? I mean, he's praying to the Heavenly Father, wasn't he? I mean, some people's messed up. But notice how he fulfills our needs. He fulfills them in Christ Jesus, the Lord. He's the one seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's ever there to make intercession for us, to hear our prayers, and to meet our needs. And I could go on and on and on about the riches that is in Christ Jesus tonight. He meets us. He meets our needs of salvation. Luke 19, what was it for the Son of Man? Come to seek and to save that which was lost. Ephesians chapter 3 said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or thank according to the power that worketh in us." Who is he talking about right there in Ephesians 3? Christ Jesus the Lord. He can do it all tonight. Well, then that brings me to number 5 and last of all. The person he meets our needs in is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20, "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Then there should be praise when he meets our need. You ought to praise him for it. You ought to praise him for the trial. Boy, that's hard to do, ain't it? You know, looking back on the trial, and you come through it, and you get through on the other side, and we say, boy, I'm glad that's over with. And Lord, I want to thank you for the trial. But it's awful hard in the middle of the night when the sun ain't shining and things ain't going right. It's hard to thank him for the trial. To say, Lord, I know you're out there somewhere and you're going to make this thing be okay. Joy is going to come. Weep a man dear for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Seems like we're all the time looking for the morning. And I think he understands that. He knows our frame. But let me say this. We're to praise him in the trial, but man, when he shows up and he meets that need, whatever that need is, you are to raise your hand to heaven and say, "Praise the Lord and thank you for what you've done, Lord." Rejoice. If you go back in verse 4 of chapter 4 in the book of Philippians, He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In the midst of our troubles and in the midst of having a need that needs to be met, we ought to just say, Lord, I know you're going to handle it. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to serve you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'm going to do my part the best way that I know how. And you guide me in that. But I'm telling you, ain't we needy people? I mean, we need to know how to be guided and all these things. But I'm going to tell you, He'll open our eyes and enlighten us and let us see the path that we need to travel. But boy, once we travel the path, and it may be a hard path some days and a hard path sometimes, but boy, when morning comes, joy will be there. And we will praise the Lord when He meets our needs tonight. Let's bow our heads across the house tonight. Bow our heads across the house. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Tonight, maybe you have a need. You say, preacher, I don't know. I don't know how there's no way He can meet this need. Listen, if He can send a prophet down by the brook Cherith and make dirty birds fly out of the air, the ravens, and drop meat, or the prophet of God can get something to eat, He can make a way. If He can make kings, if He can make the Syrian kings hear the voices of the kings of the Hittites and of the Egyptians, sounded like they were coming, and they ran. This ain't no telling what the God of heaven might do for you tonight. Just seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things be added. I don't know what your need. Maybe it's financial need. Listen, I'm not even talking about really what the need is. I'm just talking about Him meeting it tonight. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's a family need. Listen, He can get in the middle of families and work on hearts. He's good at that. He's good at that. I don't know what the need is. If you need to come pray tonight, I want you to come.